Good evening, and thank you all for staying for the final presentation, despite the cold and the late hour. So this evening, I'm going to talk about undiagnosed seropositivity and HIV testing among men who have sex with men only and men who have sex with men and women in Baltimore, Maryland. I have nothing to disclose. This research seeks to better understand HIV risk and HIV testing among men who have sex with men and women. Before we get going, I want to go over a few definitions. So I want to point out that the two categories of MSMO and MSMW are based on self-reported sexual behavior in the past year. Again, MSMO is men who have sex with men only, and MSMW is men who have sex with men and women. I'm just going to say that a lot throughout this presentation. I just want to highlight it so folks can follow what it is I'm talking about. And one of our outcomes of interest was undiagnosed seropositivity. Undiagnosed seropositive individuals self-reported having an HIV status of negative, unknown, or don't know. This is on a survey, and then later were tested for HIV and later tested HIV positive. So the majority of HIV that is sexually transmitted is transmitted by people who do not know that they are HIV positive. Transmission rates of HIV among folks who are undiagnosed seropositive is 3.5 times that of folks who are diagnosed positive. And current research indicates that MSMW might be at increased risk for undiagnosed seropositivity compared to MSMO. The majority of HIV research among men who have sex with men has treated MSM as a homogeneous population and really has not looked at differences between MSMO and MSMW. So as a result, we really know very little about MSMW populations. And the limited research we do have on MSMW has relied heavily on convenient samples and is focused primarily on descriptive statistics of HIV risk among MSMW. In addition, as we all know, there's been a lot of speculation in the popular press about the potential role that MSMW might play in spreading HIV from MSM populations to populations of heterosexual women. So what I present today uses data from BeSure MSM2, which is the CDC HIV behavioral surveillance study of men who have sex with men. The study uses venue-based, time-based sampling, and the data that I'm going to be reporting on today was collected in 2008. The data collection included three components. This is following CDC national protocol. So the first phase is a formative research phase to create a sampling frame of venues attended by MSM. The second step is the creation of a recruiting event calendar. During that step, the venues and the times are randomly selected, and they're put onto a big calendar. That's how you know when to go to what venue. And then the final step is the actual recruitment of participants at these randomly selected venues. Eligibility requirements for the study included being born male, living in the correct MSA, being 18 years of age or older, being able to complete the survey in English or Spanish, and not having previously participated in the current wave of the study. Eligible men were asked to take a 45-minute survey and were also given the opportunity to take an HIV test. So the study approached 1,326 men. Of those men, 65% were intercepted. Where intercepted means that you were asked two questions about previous participation in that wave of the study. Of those men, 76% were eligible. Of those of men that were eligible, 99% enrolled, and we gathered complete information on 600 men. Of those 600 men, 448 reported having sex with a man in the past year. I will say having sex with a man in the past year was not an eligibility requirement to not bias the sample against men who did not feel comfortable disclosing same-sex behavior at the onset of the sort of interview process. Of those 448 men, about 75% reported having only sex with men, and 24% reported having sex with both men and women in the past year. So I'm going to present three analyses today. The first is just descriptive statistics comparing MSMO to MSMW. The second is a multivariate analysis of undiagnosed seropositivity among a stratified sample of MSMO and MSMW. So that's one analysis of MSMO and then a separate analysis of MSMW. And then the third is a multivariate analysis of HIV testing among a combined sample of both MSMO and MSMW. For the multivariate analysis, we use log binomial regression to estimate adjusted prevalence ratios. So I'm going to be presenting prevalence ratios today. So you'll see that the total sample there in the first column, you'll see that the population is majority African American, mostly under the age of 35, and mostly college educated or more. When you look only at MSMW, you see majority African American. This was expected. You see lower rates of education, and you see higher rates of poverty. So as I go through this presentation, keep in mind that the MSMW population with regard to education and poverty are a marginalized group. So with regard to our outcomes of interest, you see about what? The HIV prevalence among MSMW is 30.28%, and you see no differences statistically between MSMO and MSMW. We see high rates of undiagnosed seropositivity across both MSMW and MSMO. Undiagnosed seropositivity is limited to men who are HIV positive, that analysis. And you do see a statistical difference there between the two groups. That was expected. And you see that about 50% of the sample reported being tested for HIV in the past year. So the second analysis that I'm going to present looks at multivariate associations between HIV risk behaviors and partner characteristics and undiagnosed seropositivity among MSMO and MSMW. We ran stratified analysis because we were interested in exploring if MSMO and MSMW had different risk factors for undiagnosed seropositivity. For this analysis, we excluded individuals who were known positive, and this is because we thought the folks who were known positive would differ significantly in their HIV risk compared to folks who were unknown positive. So what I'm presenting here is the results of the multivariate analysis of risk factors for undiagnosed seropositivity among men who have sex with men only. And what we see is that risk for undiagnosed seropositivity, we saw that the relationship between race and undiagnosed seropositivity varies by age, so we have an interaction there. And we see the risk for undiagnosed seropositivity among African-American MSM over the age of 30 is 7.7 times that of white MSMO over the age of 30. And this finding was significant. We also see that among MSMO, having had an STD in the past year is positively associated with undiagnosed seropositivity. So now this next slide looks at associations with undiagnosed seropositivity only among MSMW. Here you see that having more than five male partners and having a main male partner are both positively associated with undiagnosed seropositivity. We also see that having a main female partner is protective. So after we ran the two stratified analysis, we conducted a Chow test to see if the two stratified regression analysis were equivalent. So you can kind of think of a Chow test as being almost the opposite of an interaction term, where you run an interaction term, you see a difference across various strata, and then you think, okay, I'm going to split our data. Here we had already split the data, and we wanted to say, okay, are these two models really different between the two groups, or should we combine the analysis? And we found that the two models were not equivalent at the p equals 0.05 level. So that is MSMO and MSMW did differ in risk for undiagnosed seropositivity with regard to the independent variables that I presented. Okay, so the last part of this analysis looks at associations with HIV testing in the past 6 months and the past 12 months among MSMO and MSMW. For this analysis, again, we excluded folks who were known positive. So we first ran a stratified analysis. For this analysis, we stratified by MSMO and MSMW, but then when we did the Chow tests, we found that we really should have combined the samples. So what I'm presenting today is the combined sample data. And what I want to highlight here is that we see a positive association between one-on-one counseling, and that excludes counseling that was part of HIV testing, and being tested for HIV in the past 6 months and the past 12 months among MSM. So to summarize the main findings, among HIV-positive MSM, MSMW are more likely to be undiagnosed seropositive than MSMO. Multivariate associations with undiagnosed seropositivity among MSMO and MSMW were not equivalent. Partner characteristics and the number of male sex partners associated with undiagnosed seropositivity among MSMW in multivariate analysis. MSMW and MSMO did not differ with regard to prevalence in HIV testing. Multivariate associations with HIV testing among MSMO and MSMW were equivalent. One-to-one HIV counseling might play a role in HIV testing among MSM. Our study has multiple limitations. Given the nature of our study, selection bias is hard to overcome. Individuals who do not agree to participate in the study could definitely be systematically different from those who did. Other limitations include validity of self-report sexual behavioral data, the validity of self-report HIV status. MSMW could be underrepresented in this sample, and the data are cross-sectional. Despite these limitations, our research provides some insight for future programs and for future research. Our research indicates that programs that include MSMW might want to include or address risk reduction across various types of relationships, including partnerships with women and with main male partners. Sexual relationship dynamics unique to MSMW populations, and social barriers to HIV prevention, such as joblessness and stigma. We also found that HIV counseling really might be a useful tool for increasing HIV testing among MSM. This research also has implications for future research. Additional research is definitely needed among MSMW that uses representative samples. Valid measures of self-report HIV status need to be developed to further the study of undiagnosed seropositivity. For me, this is really a kicker. I think undiagnosed seropositivity is just incredibly important and something that we need to continue studying. Further research is needed on the relationship between partner characteristics and undiagnosed seropositivity among MSMW, as well as barriers to MSMW knowing their HIV status. Lastly, we need to better understand the relationship between social contextual factors such as poverty and discrimination and HIV. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to open up the session. We've got about 10 minutes until closing. So I invite people to address questions. Are there any questions for the group? Yes, sir.
For the first presenter, regarding the fast lane people that were in Miami, I'm wondering, with the recent cultural changes we've seen among youth, that there's, with many exceptions, there's more acceptance, more tolerance of diversity, and so on. Do you think that will play out in a generational manner in Miami, that there will be fewer people in this fast lane lifestyle?
I hope so. It's interesting because most of the studies that I've seen, including ours, that really has a high risk, high substance using, high sex risk group of men, they're in their late 40s to 50. And what I don't know is whether whether we're getting guys who just got exhausted and the wheel started spinning so fast that they needed to get off, and whether there's some group of young men who come with these abuse victimization histories and come with mental health problems and long-time substance use who are going to end up in the same space. We do have a number of, we probably have about a third of our sample under 30, and you know, I don't see behavioral differences there, except that it just age happens to make things a little bit worse. But I am hopeful along exactly the lines that you described.
Yes.
Hi.
I can see you.
Okay. Well, this question is for the speaker on MSMW. So,
me?
Yes.
There's Chris.
So, was this study part of a larger study being done in AIDS? Okay. Because I was curious both the rationale for the HIV positive being a bacterium, and then also, you know, like when you're talking about hypermasculinity and CSA, which is very sensitive and not so sure if focus groups would be the best way, right?
Right.
Like a guy sitting in a room with strangers and talking this out. So,
So this is actually the formative work that took place to prepare for an R34 pilot study to develop an intervention to address all of many of these issues. So the R34 is currently, I'm the project director for that, and that R34, we just finished collecting, carrying out the health education intervention sessions, and we're working through the 3-month and 6-month follow-up biomarker and questionnaire collections. For in 15 minutes, it's so hard to go into all of the justification as to why non-gay identifying and HIV positive and all those pieces, but every element of that criteria was really well thought out with specific aims. The focus groups were conducted with people that trust our researchers and have relationships with our researchers, or they come from a community that's already been working with our researchers. So it was okay to sort of address some of those very sensitive questions, coupled with the fact that there were 2 focus groups per focus group. So one focus group met once for 90 minutes, and they sort of hammered out those very basic questions, and then they met a second time, and they started addressing some of those more sensitive questions once rapport was already built. So I don't know if that answered your question. I'd be happy to give you more information on the larger study, too.
Yes. First.
I have a general.
Where are you? Okay.
I'm sorry. About the paradox of the fact that we don't see greater risk behavior in MSMWs and MSM. And I think that, or at least for African American men, in terms of number of male partners or unprotected sex with those partners, I think that it's. It makes an assumption that it's actually easy to be out and gay as an African American man, which maybe is a safe assumption. And I guess it's addressed to the young lady who's in the class to talk about the random-digit study, but I think in general it's something we should be thinking about in terms of those, you know, how to explain different kinds of risk.
I think Millet and Mail Branch are really good people to kind of explore in terms of how these myths of what we sort of think about MSM populations really differ greatly among MSM, specifically among Black MSM.
I'm just
going to
hold our line. Based on these findings that are actually very interesting and very valuable to inform future programs, is your sense that the Department of Public Health or other
They're definitely following up on that. I think we were very lucky to be involved in the pre-process of all this information. I was part of the advisory group of the organization who was gathering together to provide new services for the Latino community. Then we conducted the study, and after that we JSI Research and Training Institute provided some capacity building assistance to the organization to follow up on those issues. So we did follow up on them.